Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'm in the league. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. They'll find you the best insurance at the right price that fits your budget, and you will be covered. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
The Chiefs, third down. Goal to go at the two. 27-27 tie in overtime. Alex Smith, the quarterback. Kendrick West to his right. They're going to option it. Smith will keep it. He dives to the end zone. He's got a touchdown! Kansas City in one of the greatest comebacks in Chiefs Kingdom history.
I didn't know there was a Chiefs Kingdom. All right. Obviously, that was the Chiefs radio network. I don't think we want to play the other side, do we? But the Chiefs did win it dramatically yesterday. I thought the call of the day, obviously, was Jack Del Rio. Let's end it now. Let's go for two. Okay. Now, if it went wrong, so be it. All right, as we've talked, we all know the 50th anniversary of Joe Paterno's first game is coming up on Saturday to the day. The 17th is the day when they played Maryland. No one in the history of Penn State football has had more interceptions in his career than Neil Smith, with 19 of them in his career. And we're very pleased to be joined by a guy who was a part of that first team, and then from 67 through 69 was a critical contributor in what started the golden era of Penn State football. Neil, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you.
What do you remember at all, I mean, as a freshman standing on that sideline, about a day with Maryland and him coaching his first game?
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't on the sideline because freshmen weren't eligible, so I was in the stands. But right. We did practice with the varsity. We were kind of the dummy team at that time, so we were around him and the whole coaching staff.
When did you sense, you know, because you started actually, you mentioned that the freshmen weren't eligible. It was like, for example, Jack couldn't play, Ham couldn't play when he was a freshman either.
Right.
When did you start to sense that Penn State football had something going?
Oh, I think early in my sophomore year, we were 5-5 when I was a freshman. My sophomore year, we started out losing to Navy, I think, by one at Navy. Then we went down to Miami and really pulled an upset and beat them. The next week, we played UCLA, who had Gary Beben, Heisman Trophy winner, as a quarterback. They beat us by two, and then we started winning. So, right around that Miami game, the second game my sophomore year.
Now, that game was on a Friday night down at the Orange Bowl, and that was the game where Joe Paterno started inserting the players he had been recruiting and getting them exponentially more playing time. Were you one of those players he put into that game eventually?
I was, but I think I went in. I wasn't planned, I don't believe. I think I went in because of an injury in the second half. So, there were a bunch, especially on defense, Steve Smear, John Ebersole, Jim Cates, Dennis Oncott. There was quite a few.
Yeah, that all got in at that particular time. What kind of bond did that defense have? Because obviously there was great pressure up front, and you guys in the back line, you had 10 picks in one season. What was the camaraderie of that defense like?
Oh, it was very good. I mean, we were together for quite a few years. I think there were six or seven of us, you know, in my class that started for at least two. Well, Mike Reed was a year ahead, but he had taken a redshirt injury year, but he came back and played with us the last 2 years, 68 and 69. But there was about seven of us that were in the same class. That didn't include Ham and Mike Smith and George Landis, and they were a year behind us.
All right, I have to ask you, when was the first time you really had a feeling that Jack Ham was a player?
Oh, I don't know, probably the first punt he blocked. And he blocked a lot of them. He played, you know, 3 years, two with me and then one more year. Actually, Jack, I think, matured late in life. He was in the same high school class as we all were, but wasn't, I don't think, chosen as a recruit at Penn State and had to go to prep school. And Steve Smear was one of our captains for my junior and senior year. He and Jack were teammates in high school, and he convinced Paterno to take another look at him after prep school and brought him in.
What made Mike Reed really special? I mean, you were really good in your own right, but you're also the beneficiary of a couple things that he did. What made him special?
Intensity, intelligence, strength, speed. He was something else.
In the 22-0 stretch, Neil, how confident were you every week that you were going to win the game, or did you have doubts going into the game?
Oh, we were probably nervous for both bowl games. Trying to think. There weren't too many that we were actually scared of. You know.
Yeah. No, I understand that. What can you remember what went into the decision to go back to the Orange Bowl in 1970 to play Missouri? What went into that decision across the board when maybe the door could have been open to playing Texas?
Well, I'll talk about that a little bit. That year, we were invited to the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl. But we had to make a decision before the last week of the season. So we had a team-only meeting. I guess Paterno allowed us to do that. And the black players on the team, there was probably only 8 or 10, were very much against going to the Cotton Bowl. Back in 48, I think, Penn State was invited to the Cotton Bowl, accepted the invitation, had two black players in the team, and then they could not find a single hotel in Dallas, I guess, that would house them. So they ended up staying on some kind of military base. And, because of that, particularly Charlie Pittman made the arguments that we should stand up against that. And we pretty much agreed. I know that's was the turning point in my vote. So we... And we had a good time at the Orange Bowl the year before, so we went back to the Orange Bowl.
Okay. All right. I mean, that puts it out, I think, in terms that I think everybody understands. How do you look back in your Penn State experience, and what did it mean to your life?
Oh, I don't it meant everything to me. It taught me self-confidence, some leadership qualities. It was just a big learning experience.
Which then leads me to, what did Joe Paterno's involvement mean to you in your life?
He was the leader. I grew to respect him and love him a lot more as time went on. I think in the very beginning, the first couple of years I was there, he was too hard on himself. And, wanted to, prove that he was a good coach and everything. And as he matured, he was married and had children already, but I think as he grew older and got more used to the job, he became the fantastic person that he was. I'm sorry.
Neil, thanks so much for the time you gave us. Appreciate it. It's something that I think everyone remembers, that your 19 career interceptions, the 10 you had in 1 year, and what an important role you played in the foundation of what Penn State football became. Thank you so much for your time and also what you gave to the program.
Okay, thank you.
Neil Smith, what a career he had. What a career. Really. That's the first of many we're going to have. We're going to take Qualick, Greg Garrity Sr., Steve Smear, and we're working on trying to get Jimmy Cephalo this week. It's all part of a series that we're trying to do here because it's a slice of history that means a lot to our fan base. Well, if it's more than just a slice of history, it means a lot to the fan base. It's a slice of history. It's real. It happened. Okay? It happened. And because it happened, and we know people are interested in it, we want to make sure that we bring that part to you. So, all right. We will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
The Steve Jones Show, honoring the 50th anniversary of Joe Paterno's first game as Penn State head coach on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The number of times in my life that I heard Joe Paterno talk about Ted Qualick be a number, big number. And Ted Qualick will be part of the show tomorrow. Greg Garrity Sr. this week. Steve Smear this week. All sorts of good Jack Ham stories. Great ammo for Saturday. Looking forward to it. I should tell, I forgot to tell Jack that Smear was on the show this week. And then we're working on Jimmy Cephalo as a possibility, too. So, okay. So we got a lot going on. Penn State Temple, Saturday at noon, 10:30, the airtime. I can't tell you a single thing about them. They lost to Army. They beat Stony Brook. Okay, can anybody tell me what you know about them? Anybody out there? Anybody? I don't know. I mean, what do you learn from those games? What do you learn? I don't know. So that's I don't know. I know the quarterback, Philip Walker, moves really, really well. I know Jahad Thomas has been banged up in the preseason. I mean, I know all that stuff, but I have no read on how good they are because they've not played anybody that can give you a read. So I don't know. I mean, I'll watch some tape just to like get a feel for certain things that they do. Yeah, I'll do that, but I can't tell you what. I can't tell you what they do. Unless you're a lot smarter than I am, I think the entire audience is. But so I probably shouldn't have phrased it that way. Unless you're smarter than me. Oh, wait a minute. You all are smarter than me. I forgot about that. That was really bad on my part. Well. That's my printer in the background going insane.
I was going to say, get the old UPI, old school teletype going back.
No. I was printing out some Temple stuff here. I was like, okay. And of course, I get the. All I need was one more thing.
I guess it could be the answer to what you're looking for.
I needed one more thing. Well, that one more thing happens to be the Temple depth chart. Okay, great. Wow. And guess what? I'm out of paper.
Well, you used them all up for the medical report last hour.
I'd like the timing of that one. You like that? I mean, look, I may not be very good at this job. Once in a while, though, I have a little comedic timing.
You do.
Something.
You do.
Just a little bit. A little tiny bit. Just a smidge. It's like the Jack Hamp thing we kid about all the time. Jack and I kid about. Is, you know. We'll talk about some big-time player. Look, no major injury, just a twinge. Oh, I don't know. Got a twinge. Can't go. All right. So 1-800-795-9565. Let's see here. Is this Brian?
It is. Got Brian checking in from Eliasburg. Wanted to talk about Saturday's game.
Hey, Brian, how are you today? Hello, Brian. Brian, can you hear me? Nope. I don't think Brian can hear me.
Must have bailed.
Oh. Just when he had an opportunity to tell me he was smarter than I was, too. Hey, Steve's vulnerable. I'm going for it.
So will Temple's defense take a substantial couple of steps back?
I don't know. They played Army, which is an all-option team, and they played Stony Brook, which is not good. I don't know. It is, I don't know. Nobody knows. Now we sit there and it's a guessing game. I mean, but Penn State, it's a game Penn State has to have. I mean, Penn State has to have this game. They need this game. You don't want to go into the conference under the Mendoza line. You want to be able to go in over 500, some momentum. There were certainly things that didn't go well on Saturday. Turnovers, the kick return, things like that, the early start. And then there's a bunch of things that did go right in the final 40 minutes that are all big building blocks. But you have to eliminate mistakes. You have to. You can't turn the ball over. You can't give up a kickoff return. Those are mistakes. And now, ladies and gentlemen, under the category of the third time is the charm, Brian in Eliasburg. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Steve. Sorry about that. I was in a bad zone. I got cut off twice, so I'm calling back.
Just so you know, Brian, I've been in a bad zone for years, so I got to remember that excuse.
Yeah, I just want to say, I'm sorry I didn't see you at the first game because that was crazy. I was walking around creation, and I didn't have a chance to come over there and say hi to you. But well, there's always next year. But the thing is, I just want to say, I hope Gabinda's okay. I know some players just still play with a broken hand. And then my last thing is going to say, Barkley said in the paper that you're either going to let this loss affect you or you can move on like a good team. And, of course, Joe Paterno always said that. You're going to get good or you're going to get better. So that's all
I
want to say.
Well, you know what? You cannot allow the fifth game to beat you twice.
Yeah.
So in other words, you shake it off and you go to the next one and you build upon your positives and eliminate the negatives. That's what you got to do. And Joe's right. You either get better or get worse. You never stay the same.
That's right. That's right. And I'm looking for Barkley to have a great game Saturday. So we'll see what happens. Okay?
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate it, Brian. 1-800-795-9565. Young Leon in the final half hour of the show today. Matt Leon on the Carson Wentz performance, by the way, which was fabulous. Wow. I mean, that was something. He stepped in there and acted like he had the job for 3 years. No, it was the Browns. I don't want to ruin everybody's day. But it was Cleveland. Just so you know, it was Cleveland. But you know what? You still got to beat Cleveland. They did. So that was great. It was interesting. Somebody called me earlier and they said that somebody wrote something about dramatically out-coaching James Franklin. You know, what's interesting is I always find that people in games, one of the complaints they have is what, Sean? They don't make adjustments. You got to make adjustments. Well, that game was the definition of making adjustments, wasn't it? I mean, they made adjustments. That's how they got within striking range to try and win the game, because they made adjustments. And they made some big-time adjustments. That's how you outscore them 32-14 in the final 40 minutes. The problem is that you dug such a hole, for goodness sakes, and it was a big hole, where you had to play uphill all day, and that is a mentally draining way to play. But once they got a handle on what was going on and adjusted to it, they played well enough.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This is Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And time now for our sports bozo of the day. Now, D'Angelo Williams, by the way, has done a lot for charity in his lifetime, especially for the charity of breast cancer research, was actually called out on social media for leaving almost no tip at a restaurant in Maryland over the weekend. And the Steeler running back says the 75 cents he gave was too much. It all started when a server from the Lido restaurant in Maryland, Sherrill, shared a photo of Williams' receipt on Facebook. The bill came to $128.26. Williams left $129. Just now at work, I had D'Angelo Williams come in, and I waited on him while tending bar. His check was $128.25. He left me $129 with no tip, but 75 cents, the woman wrote. So there you go, Steeler fans. Your running back is a cheap. Okay. Williams was later blasted on Twitter by one of the server's coworkers, and he responded by explaining how horrible the service was. You're right. I tried to leave exact change, but I couldn't wait on my food for 1.5 hours and then got the order wrong. She never asked for refills, took a dish back, removed what was on it, and left a shrimp tail in my salad. Instead of asking for a manager, I simply didn't leave a tip for the hardly working server that expected a tip. I went over that order four times, and not only that, our food came out with our salads, and it was not a complex order. So it takes 1.5 hours for you to get me three salads and pasta, and it's not packed at all. Slow by her standards. I ordered chicken and shrimp in my pasta, and they put it in my salad. Then they took it back and removed it from the salad, and they put it in my pasta, leaving a shrimp tail in the salad. I used to wait tables, and I used to be a bag boy, so I know what I'm doing here. Another server defended Williams, saying he always tips well when he comes to eat at her restaurant. And Williams said, man, it was awful. Jimmy Marcos, the co-owner of Lido Restaurant, told TMZ that the server who called out Williams has been fired. I want to offer anything I can do. I'll be sure to apologize in person the next time he visits and pick up his next meal. Assuming he's telling the truth, it sounded like Williams had more than a few reasons to leave virtually no tip. We saw a similar situation unfold with another NFL running back a couple of years ago. While we don't know exactly what happened with Williams, the truth is servers sometimes expect huge tips from professional athletes for obvious reasons. If the service was as bad as Williams claims it was, do you blame him for being angry? I don't. The tip is supposed to reflect the effort put in. Now, I will freely admit, there have been times where I have felt... Let me start with this. I want to point out that I believe that 90%+ of the time when I've gone somewhere, I have had very good to excellent service. 90%+. There's that less than 10% where you sit there and go, guys, what's going on here? And at that point, I have been tempted, like, you know, these people don't deserve a tip, but I've always given the usual 18 to 25%.
Okay.
Still have done it because I thought, okay, as principal, because I keep thinking, look, the person needs the money, but they also need to. Yeah, I remember going one place, and came in, our group sat down, took a while, somebody finally came over to us, gave us menus. Okay. About 10 minutes later, this group, other group came in and sat literally at the table next to the one that our group was at. They got menus. We put our order in. Then they put their order in. And then they got food, and we still had no food. They then finished their meal and left. And we still didn't have food. And they got there 10 minutes after we did. 10 to 15 minutes after we did. We still didn't even have our food. We finally got up and started to leave. And they started coming out the food, and I said, we don't want it. Well, we made it. And I said, yeah, but you don't seem to understand. They got here 15 minutes after we did. I said, and they're already done. I said, all we have are burgers and fries. And we decided to exit. It had nothing to do with anything except we'd already been there an hour and a half. And I was, we were all of us as a group, there was four of us at the table, and we were like, yeah, we didn't yell, we didn't do anything. We just calmly said, look, we're going to go someplace else. Because, you know, so it does happen. You know, and sometimes in a place you get lost in the wash. I understand that. You get lost in the wash. As Sean knows, I'm not a complainer. So, but we just decided, like, you know, I'm really hungry here. We gotta go. It's been a while, so we gotta leave. And it wasn't here; it was someplace else. And it's like, yeah. And it really wasn't that busy. So I can see where D'Angelo Williams is coming from when he's sitting there, like, I got pasta with chicken and shrimp. I don't want it in my salad. One time I ordered a shrimp salad someplace. And the shrimp came out, and it was all the shrimp was, each one of them was individually there encased in ice. So I called the waitress over and I said, I don't think I can eat this salad. She says, why not? I said, well, the shrimp's encased in ice. I said, I want to break through and break my teeth trying to eat it here. Oh, is that a problem? I said, might be. They were all encased in ice. And so she takes the salad, right? And I said, could you just, you know, just take it and just put thawed shrimp on it? That'd be great. That's all I said. I wasn't going to leave or anything like that. And she yells back, and says, hey, he says he's got too much ice in his shrimp. Now, admittedly, I never went back there. But even when the service, like I said, 90%+ of the time, I find service to be good to excellent. Good to excellent. It's at less than 10% of the time, because, I mean, I eat a lot, so you're going to run into a problem here and there. But they still get tips, so. But I understand where he's coming from. Now, see, the suit doesn't run into this problem. You want to know why?
Okay, why?
He never leaves a tip. And he cites consistency. That's not fair. No, it's not to the waiter or waitress. So, look, the vast majority of waiters and waitresses bust their backsides. That's a hard job.
It is. My wife did some waitressing about, she did some waitressing even a year or two after we got married. So, but yeah, I can definitely relate. Oh. So we always try to do the 18 to 20%, you know, if it's always,
I do 18 to 25.
Yeah.
18's the low end if I think it's not great. 25's the high end if I think it's really good. So, and I mean, all you got to keep orders straight. You got to be able to get it in on time. You're trying to multitask as you do it. You got to carry all that. I mean, that's not light carrying that stuff out there. I mean, it's heavy. And you hustle and run the entire time. It's a hard, hard job. She just didn't have a good night. You're going to take the shrimp off your salad and your chicken and throw it on your pasta. I could give her credit for innovation. Let's try it this way. Oh, well. So there you go. D'Angelo Williams playing ball tonight. Now, do I want the woman to get fired? No. That's the other part. We're so quick to fire that person. Well, you know what? Okay, I'm from the outside looking in. I'm not big on firing people. Eh? Bad moment, bad day. Now, I think, putting it out on Facebook. But that goes back to, okay, what's the big thing that we've been hearing about for the last couple of weeks with Colin Kaepernick, who plays tonight? Oh, the right to freedom of speech. The right to freedom of speech. And we do. We have a right to freedom of speech. Right? And John Tortorello got reprimanded, but in some media parts, because he said, hey, guys on Team USA don't put their hands over the heart and stand at attention. You aren't playing that night. Right? And he got crushed by some media people by that. All right. Let's get something straight here. All of us do have freedom of speech. We do. Freedom of speech and expression. We are entitled to it. But if I go on this radio station right now and I rip Sunbury Broadcasting, I have exercised my right of freedom of speech. Just like they will exercise their right tomorrow morning to tell me I'm never coming back to express myself any longer on the show.
And that's when I get the note from either the guy down the hall that signs our checks or the senior program director. Right. Okay, what time do we stop by to pick up our gear?
Right. No, but I'm saying that, but see, I have the, but you see what my point is. I'm laughing about it, but here's my point. My point is I have the freedom of speech and expression that I can do anytime in this country without consequence of the law. That doesn't mean there aren't consequences. If I go on here and here in the land of make-believe, I rip the structure of the station, I rip what they've done with the show, whatever, okay? We'll just make something up here. Okay, I have now exercised my right of free speech. So the law is not going to come after me for exercising my right. But that doesn't mean at that point that Sunbury Broadcasting can't look at me and go, hey, by the way, exercise it somewhere else. You're gone. And that's the way it is with everything. You exercise your freedom of speech on Twitter, and it's not, and a company doesn't like it, they can release you. Oh, you have the right to it. They have a little right to whether you stay or not. You want to exercise your right on Facebook for your freedom of speech? And it happens to be something disparaging about a religion or disparaging about a race or the, okay? And your company reads it and they said, we don't want this person working for us. They're entitled not to hire you any longer. And John Tortorello is saying, look, this is how we do things. You're a part of Team USA. You don't do it, you're not playing. I'm in charge. Well, guess what? That's called life. That's what some of these guys, men and women, who write these columns about all these players, how great it is, they're exercising their right of free speech. We have the right of free speech without repercussions from the law. If I want to take a sign and I want to march in front of the White House tonight about something I'm upset about in the world or the country or taxes or something like that, right? They can't stop me from doing it. I'm within my rights to do it. if my employer doesn't like the fact that I'm doing it and it's embarrassing them for whatever reason, they have the right to get rid of me. Well, John Tortorello, in this case, is the coach. He is the management. He has the right to look at him and say, you don't do this, you're gone. Just like if you don't hustle on a play, you're out. You got that right. So, yes, we have the right to freedom of speech and expression. But the company also has a right to do what they want. If the NFL wants to pass a rule that you must stand with hand over heart and make it a rule, they're well within their rights to do it. And if you break the rule, now they don't have that rule. It's only suggested. But if you break that rule and decide to kneel or put your fist up or whatever, which is your right of freedom of expression, if they had the rule, then they would be within their rights to fine you or release you. Who's to stop them? Happens all the time. There are people posting stuff on Facebook or any kind of social media that have lost jobs all over this country because once it got back to management, they went, hey, I don't know. I don't think that represents us too well, do you? Okay. Sean's got to go. I just picked that randomly, by the way, that name.
No problem here. We're good.
You sure?
Absolutely.
Seem a little upset.
No, I'm fine.
Would you care to express yourself?
I will tonight during the Steelers game if they're down 28-7 in the second.
Yeah, believe me. I'm sure there's some expression shown around the state a little bit on Saturday, too. So, all right, we'll come back, wrap up the broadcast extravaganza only we can on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The Steve Jones Show, honoring the 50th anniversary of Joe Paterno's first game as Penn State head coach on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All right, Neil Smith joined us today. Tomorrow, Ted Kwolek. Later in the week, Steve Smear, Greg Garrity Sr., and we're working on trying to get Jimmy Cephalo on the show. Not bad. So that's what we're working on this end. And I'll tell you more about various great games over the years, great moments. And yeah, Neil had to sit in the stands for the first game. Yeah. That sounds fun. But that's the way it was. It used to be the freshmen would play at the Flower Garden Fields, I want to say Monday or Tuesdays. That actually continued right up. I think 82 was the last time that there were freshman games or JV games. I remember going over there and watching them. Because you want to see all the young guys and who's playing, who's doing what. You know, it's great. Great way to watch it. See the progress of guys. A long time ago, though. Everything I've done was a long time ago. That's the way it is. Long time. Well, the Nittany Lions will take on Temple Saturday. So it's Pitt. It's the Steelers against the Redskins tonight. All right, Sean, this is your team. Break it down.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I'm interested in the Antonio Brown-Josh Norman matchup just to see how long Norman is going to be there with AB. Problem is, you got two wide receivers that are out tonight. You got, of course, you know, Martez Bryant.
Le'Veon Bell's out.
Le'Veon Bell is out. Yeah, you got Martavis Bryant out. So it's time for that kid from Ole Miss to step up and get alongside AB and deliver tonight. So he didn't have a good training camp. A nice heavy dose of Ben tonight, so that'll be good to see.
It's amazing what a difference he makes. I mean, I've had people tell me, well, you know, Brown's their best player. Like, and Roethlisberger's the most valuable. I said, well, the reason he's the most valuable is because he is your best player. It's like, okay, no offense, Ben Roethlisberger is your best player.
Well, Sammy Coates was able to step up good late last season in both Denver games, regular season and the playoffs. So, but he's your number two tonight.
All right.
Pre-game on the Valley starts at 5:10. Just a few minutes.
Yep, saw Bill the other night. Obviously. Ted Kwolek tomorrow. The number of times I heard Joe mention his name over the years. Many, many times. Two-time All-American at Penn State, 67-68. Dare I ask him about his year in the World Football League with the Hawaiians? You know I will. Left the 49ers where he was an All-Pro. And went to the WFL. I have to ask him about that experience. That's tomorrow. Thanks to Neil Smith and Joe Souza for being on today's show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.